Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe with RT.ie. Before I introduce our first guest, I just want to read out, if I can, two emails we got recently, and we didn't know what to do with them, but now it's fallen into our next caller's lap, because this is, hi Joe, I would love to get your listener's view on how I can live with my conspiracy theory wife. She is in full belief that the COVID pandemic is in fact a plandemic, and anyone that believes in it is a sheep or asleep. She is constantly on Facebook in her secret groups, dismissing all the hard work the government and frontline staff are doing and announcing the lies that are being spread. Every day is a new argument. I have tried to stay out of her way and not bring up the subject, but it's impossible in today's environment. I am at my wit's end with her pseudoscience and fear that this will end our marriage. How can I deal with this? I really don't want to lose her. Second email. I would like Joe to highlight the growing infiltration of QAnon groups, which have steadily been growing here in Ireland, having originated a few years ago in America. I am wondering how to help a loved one overcome by the highly gripping nature of this group, which has the potential to take over a person's time, thoughts and life. I only learned about the existence of such a movement in the past few months, especially around the time of the presidential election in America, as many QAnon members support Trump. My family member got sucked into QAnon throughout lockdown in the past year. They were working from home and were on their own. As other family members continued to go out to work, they had spare time on their hands. Cannabis use also came into the equation. It escalated and the person became isolated from family and friends. They were consumed with injustices going on around the world. QAnon appears to become all-consuming. Initially, some of their beliefs were credible and justifiable, as some scandals were emerging in this country, i.e. mother and baby homes, illegal adoptions, orphanages, etc. I just didn't realise how far it could take a person away from reality, their work and the people I love. And that's why Keelan Robertson is on the line. Keelan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Okay. You were living in Kilkenny until what? You were 13.
Yeah, so I left when I was 13 to move to Cheshire, which is just under Manchester in the UK.
Okay, now you've written recently about your own path, and beginning with your attraction to, Caelan, to far-right groups. How did that start?
Well, I was never really political when I was 19 and 20 when I moved to London. I was openly gay, but I wasn't really engaged in kind of any type of politics. I knew that homophobia was bad. That's something I always knew. But I remember the Orlando shooting happened, America's worst last shooting, 50 gay people killed in a nightclub. And I wanted to know why that happened. I didn't know anything about Islam. And millions of other people my age didn't know about it either. So I took to YouTube to figure out the answers. I didn't grow up on mainstream media, on newspapers, watching TV. I grew up on the internet. So I remember the top rated results at that time were all organizations which are hard right, like Rebel Media, InfoWars by Alex Jones. It was very, very far-right personalities who were standing outside the scene of the Orlando shooting saying, this is because of Islam. It was gay people protesting it. It was people like Milo Yiannopoulos. It looked like a very diverse crowd of people. And they were all saying that Islam and this verse and this verse in the Quran is at war with the LGBT community and also the West. And these videos, after I watched a couple of them, I was recommended hundreds and hundreds more over the coming weeks. I would listen to them on the way to work. I would listen to them all the time. Mm-hmm. They would start expanding. YouTube would recommend more and more radical stuff from people like Stefan Molyneux, who would push sort of racial qualities to all of this stuff, who would start being very, very heavily critical of mass immigration into Europe. And really, I started to just really start listening to it all the time, really started believing a lot of it. The mainstream media at the time hadn't really addressed why Orlando happened. They had just sort of reported it as happening. And they seemed to offer this sort of holy grail of answers. Obviously, looking back now, it's all propaganda. It's all nonsense. But it made me go and pick up a camera and go and make content like that in Britain. And I was the first one to do it. So I would go to left-wing rallies. I would interview people and put out montages. I did the same in Dublin at the Repeal the 8th March because I felt like after consuming hours and days of this content on the internet that had been pumped into my mind, that that the left and the mainstream media were taking over, and they wanted to flood our countries with people that don't look like us, and they wanted, they didn't care about gay people or women's rights, and they didn't even know why they were protesting. And genuinely, I felt like I was in this sort of strange like crusade. Myself and millions of others who are watching my videos and Rebel Media videos to kind of wake people up. And that was the beginning of that journey that took me all across the world, working with Alex Jones, Lauren Southern. I directed all of their documentaries and sort of was really ended up being part of that system that had pumped all the information into me back in early 2016.
And so take us, Caelan. Sorry, just to the, your work, what you say, you filmed that Repeal the 8 demos in Dublin or whatever. What did you do with those videos?
Also, I mean, at the time, there was this big climate in the United States for left-wing media, actually, where they would go to Trump supporter rallies and they would go to right-wing rallies and they would make everyone look stupid and they would interview the dumbest person. That's unethical. And I thought, well, actually, the right needs to do that too, even though that doesn't make it right. And I would go to those rallies and I would find the people who weren't the most educated, who weren't the most queued up. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, ask them basic questions and then sort of cut it up, you know, deceptively like they did in that sort of American style politics and put it out. And unfortunately, they were quite well viewed. I think it got 3 million views or something in Ireland on Facebook, and obviously massively regret that content because two wrongs don't make a right, and deception is obviously a horrible thing to take part in. But I genuinely felt like it was important to wake people up and to sort of bombast the left in that way.
And Caelan, did you, your propulsion for that filmmaking about Repeal the 8, was that from being anti-abortion or anti-left-wing? Do you follow me?
Anti-left-wing. I mean, it was the idea that there was loads of young people with blue hair and pink hair, and they were sort of the ones that were pushing all of this stuff anyway in Europe and in America. They were sort of perceived as a and sort of peddled to the top of, like, the ultimate villain, right? It was all of these sort of white liberals. And that's what it was about. I really didn't know anything about abortion when I made that video. It was just about, you know, anti-left-wing content.
So you picked out the people who were, what, most inarticulate, or did you actually edit it in such a way that they were made look inarticulate?
Probably a mixture of both. Okay. The people that were didn't really know why they were there, maybe they were there with friends and weren't too invested in the issue, and then obviously topped it up in a way that was misleading, which obviously I massively regret. But at the time, again, I felt like the West was at war with this stuff. I felt like we needed as many supporters as possible to be on side with all of this. Again, the reason I'm telling you and speaking publicly about it being deceptively edited is because those videos, and I've taken down as many as I can, and there are thousands of others that weren't associated with me, are still going viral online to this day. And people who watch them need to know that it is deceptive. They frame themselves as anti-mainstream media. We're the real truth. We're the real journalists. We're going out. But actually, it's as bad or if not worse than the stuff that they did to Trump supporters and right-wingers in America.
And they also say when you get into an argument or try and get into an argument to conspiracy theorists, for example, they'd say to you, well, I've seen more videos than you will ever see. I've read more than you. They profess to know more than you. But you're saying a lot of the videos they're looking at and are being directed to are doctored.
Well, this is why I think it's important to talk about it from a doctored sense and from the people that are propagating these conspiracy theories. The people like Alex Jones who pushed Pizzagate and pushed QAnon and pushed all of these conspiracy theories
just
to dominate our culture now.
Pizzagate, again, a little health warning for our listeners. Pizzagate is where, what, they said Hillary Clinton was running a paedophile ring out of pizza shops or something.
Which sounds bizarre, but someone turned up with a gun and millions of people believed that view. Look at the people that stormed the Capitol on the 6th of January. Look at the people, 45%, if not more, of Republicans who thought the election was stolen. It's a mainstream issue, but you can't beat it by trying to tackle it with reason. I feel like the only way it's going to work, which is what I'm doing now, is to actually tackle the people at the top of it who are profiting of it, who don't believe any of it. The people that I worked with very closely didn't really believe any of it themselves, but they were making, you know, millions and millions of dollars a year doing it, selling T-shirts and selling mugs. Those people aren't invested in it. And the people that are the victims of all of this are the people that you read out the emails of at the start of this phone call, are the people who are sitting at home, are Facebook moms, especially during the pandemic, who are consuming all of this stuff online and genuinely feeling like there are child sex trafficking rings all across the UK. And demonizing these people isn't helpful because I think these people are victims. A lot of them genuinely think that children are being abused all across the world and in these terrible rings. And it's a maternal thing and it comes from a place of them genuinely thinking they want to help kids. But it needs to be exposed to people that are propagating it, the people that are profiting of it, and the people that don't care about the victims of it. It's growing. The only reason we aren't seeing it even more strongly at the moment is because we've had the lockdown all across the world. Mm-hmm. So we haven't seen people take to the streets in the same numbers they have before. But if we didn't have the lockdown, we'd be having a much more serious conversation about just how prevalent it is.
And I'm reading from, well, you're the main focus of an article in the New York Times last week, Caelan. But the subhead says, focus on, this seems to be their MO, focus on conflict, feed the algorithm, make sure whatever you produce reinforces a narrative. Don't worry if it is true.
Look, when you're radicalized and you're inside of those movements, that's what you become. I genuinely felt like if I want to bend the truth or I want to manipulate something, if that's going to still wake people up and stop gay people being murdered in nightclubs and stop, mm-hmm. anti-white hatred and mass migration happening, then that's fine. And YouTube fed those algorithms. And every time we created a video that was more and more violent or more and more extreme, YouTube would recommend them. One thing I gave to the New York Times that was really shocking is inside access to the biggest, most high-profile far-right and conspiracy theory channels in America for the first time ever. And they found that over 60 or 70% of the views of those videos and impressions were recommended to non-subscribers and people that weren't looking for it. So this isn't Facebook moms. This isn't the people who emailed you. They weren't looking for any of this stuff in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was all pushed to them and given to them by the algorithms of social media companies that dominate our entire cultures now. They've been responsible for uprisings in Myanmar and places all across the world, and this is just a small fraction of it. I obviously feel very guilty about it. It's very embarrassing to talk about it, but I feel like it's important, because if I can say as a video maker who was part of that disinformation that it's all nonsense, then hopefully it'll make people who believe in it realize, from the creators, not from the media, not from their friends, that actually it's a bending of the truth. And that doesn't mean their questions are inaccurate. My questions about whether Islam is compatible with gay people are still there. I'm not on the far left now, not even close to that. But I know that the answers to that stuff, demonizing of other people, demonizing of Muslims or left-wing groups or people like that, leads to the same real-world violence, like we saw at Charlottesville, like we saw at Christchurch, and like we saw at Orlando.
And Caelan, but some of the conspiracy theories that we've heard here in Ireland in the last few weeks even are so outlandish that they're laughable. Like, there was a group, it was a Saturday about 6 weeks ago in outside the GPO in Dublin, which I'm sure you know, and a group of them were claiming that young babies, I'm very conscious of young ears, but young babies were being killed and what was being extracted from their bodies to be used to keep RTE presenters young-looking, and their bodies were being buried under the new children's hospital. And people were interviewed saying this, and they didn't break into hysterical laughter. They kept a straight face. They believed this nonsense. But that's so but that's so outlandish, Caelan, that...
Well, because if you lived in a small town 20, 30 years ago, there would always be one nut job who would believe something like that down the pub, and everyone would ignore them. But now they go on the internet, and they can start a Facebook group chat, and they're no longer tied by the physical geography of the area that they're living in. They can find 250 other people in small towns that believe the same thing. And then suddenly it's legitimate, and it's a movement, and it's a real thing, and it exists, and they're valid. And this is because of social media companies allowing all of this stuff to thrive, knowing about it and allowing all of it to thrive.
Let me take a quick break. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We do not wish to cast aspersions on any individual, so apologies to the individual mentioned there before the break. I'm talking to Caelan Robertson. Caelan is originally from Kilkenny, lived there, as he said, he was 13, moved to London with his family, came out as gay, and then, for various reasons which he explained, got involved in the alt-right movement, and he now has obviously changed his mind dramatically in terms of telling the truth. And he's saying that he was making videos, deliberately doctoring videos, including videos he made about the Repeal the Eight supporters, and the purpose of this video was to make them look stupid or unwelcome, so to speak. Tell us about your work, Caelan, with Tommy Robinson, who'll be well known in Ireland. But he's a character in the UK primarily. But tell us about your work with the far right activist Tommy Robinson.
Well, so because I didn't really grow up much in the UK and wasn't engaged in politics, I didn't know about the English Defence League and the sort of crazy stuff that he was involved in before. But I was hired after I did a couple of Streeter videos speaking to feminists by Ezra Levant from Rebel Media, and he had just employed Tommy Robinson as a co-presenter. So that's how I was introduced to him, really. He seemed really lovely. I mean, I had Googled him as a cursory thing, and he, you know, there was a lot of negative news articles about him, but I guess at the time I didn't believe the mainstream media, but it was all lies, and he convinced me it was because of snobbery, because he was working class. He said, Caelan, you're gay, I've got loads of gay friends, and your opinions and your views and your fears about Islam are valid, and you could be killed in this country in 20, 30 years if you keep allowing mass immigration from people that hate you, and et cetera. And he said that all assertions on him of being racist were nonsense, and he was really lovely, but I started making his content for a long time. We traveled up and down the UK. We became the second most viewed politics channel on YouTube at that time, sort of, you know, going to different towns across the UK and spouting lots of different stuff. We organized a rally outside Downing Street called Day for Freedom, which was, you know, 15, 20,000 people strong, and that was about Twitter censorship and Facebook censorship. But I sort of fell disenfranchised with a lot of this stuff because towards the end, the views that these people spout publicly is actually very, very, very different to what they believe behind the scenes. Publicly, the views of people like Tommy and him himself would always be that Islam is very different from Muslims. And you can criticize Islam as an ideology, but criticizing Muslims is demonizing individuals. Yeah, and we would always make that distinction. But over time, that would start to be very, very blurred, and it really started to delve into racism. And that's something that made me sort of walk away from a lot of that stuff. But we were sort of really essential in his growth at that time, which I regret massively. I mean, he's had his videos taken down off YouTube now and shrunk quite a lot because of censorship. But yeah, if I knew who he was when I first met him, I would never have gone down that path.
And did you doctor videos to make it look like he was the victim of an assault?
So we went to, there was this big rush from US attention at the moment for these no-go zones, quote unquote, that existed in Europe at the time. And it was about these very, very dangerous and violent areas. And I remember we traveled across Europe for a while, and he got into a confrontation with a migrant outside a train station. I didn't edit the video because I felt it was like way too far, but I allowed it to happen by him giving it to his brother to edit. And it basically reversed the situation. And the raw footage showed that the migrant was innocent and the victim of an assault. And Tommy was the person that was winding him up and pushing him in front of a car, which the New York Times released last week. And that was something that I released to show directly to Tommy supporters, of which there are millions in this country, that if you hear that he's a con from the mainstream media, they're not going to believe it. If you hear it from anybody, you're not going to believe it. But if you see the footage yourself and you see it in real life, then it's basically indisputable. So that's why I released that. But there was a lot of times I sort of bended the truth and manipulated information because, again, it was about the greater cause. I was a radical person as well. I genuinely believed that, you know, there was this elite that wanted to destroy us all. And, you know, if it means that we have to bend the truth, that's what we're going to do.
And do you, Ben, Caelan, I go back to the two letters that I read out at the start of the programme and look for your response. But, like, one listener says he believes that his wife's attraction to these conspiracy theories and QAnon has grown during the pandemic because of being, people are effectively, well, people are locked in, so to speak, more time on the laptop, more time on the computer. They look at one conspiracy theory and suddenly they go down a rabbit hole. Has the pandemic made a difference?
The pandemic has accelerated everything that we've been seeing tenfold. There's been studies in the US that have been carried out recently that have found that there's a direct correlation between the amount of time you spend on social media and radicalization. And the amount of time that we have spent on social media in the last 13 months has been 100 times more than it would have been before. So we've seen a massive, massive increase in this, in people that are staying at home and just scrolling through their news feeds and getting recommended and recommending more and more extreme content that Facebook will put up with and basically allow. And the only reason we're not taking it seriously and the only reason we're not absolutely horrified by it is because of lockdown. People can't protest right now, and we haven't mm-hmm. seen tens of thousands of people taking to the streets, which we would be right now, given how many more people are becoming radical. It's why I set up Future Freedom, my organization, to get people out of the far right, because when I saw what happened at the January 6th riots in America and all of the similar stuff that's happening in the UK and all these far right terror plots, all these people radicalized on the internet, and it's getting far and far worse. And there's no one really specifically dealing with it from a perspective of someone that was inside of it and who understands it that intimately. But it's very dangerous. And the advice as well, if your wife or if your kids or a partner has gone down this path, is genuinely it's a waste of time arguing whether it's right or wrong, okay, or the facts, or showing them mainstream media articles, because it's too far gone. Everything that's fact-based is discredited. The only thing that you can do is, from a non-judgmental perspective, and I'm making a booklet about this, is to encourage critical thinking. Definitely don't blame yourself. It's not your fault if your partner or someone you know has gone down this path. And to talk more about the people that are propagating it, not the ideas, the people that are making money from it, and doing research into that and the stuff that we're going to be putting out, and realizing that actually they're a victim of a huge, well-funded ecosystem that is set up to drain money from these people and to monetize their shock and horror about it.
How do they get money off these people, Caelan?
Well, there's merchandising, there's advertising on conspiracy theory websites. Obviously, okay, I won't name anyone in particular, but the biggest conspiracy theory website I worked for made $60 million a year selling merchandise. So it's a very well-funded organization that profits off people's fears, and women's fears about children, and maternal fears about children being, you know, raped and things like this, these horrible ideas. And it's really, really, really dark. And it's more about talking about it from that perspective than trying to sort of go into the actual ideas themselves.
And Caelan, when you were, as you say, propagating these conspiracy theories and doctoring videos and working for alt-right groups, what was the reaction of your family and friends?
My friends completely cut me off. They stopped speaking to me. And again, that fuels the echo chamber. This is what happens to a lot of young people. The further down this rabbit hole you go, the more you lose touch with reality and people who are normal around you. And you stop having your views questioned and you start becoming more extreme because they're never confronted. And you lose touch with reality, that your new friends become radicals like yourself. And so that was an extremely difficult time. My family have been very supportive in a lot of ways through the whole thing. I think they've seen what was happening from the outside, and it's been just an incredibly it was an incredibly difficult time. And walking away took 2 years just to recover and just to go back into normal society. And I ended up working in a pub for a while just to reconnect with normal people again, just to understand what it was like to have a real conversation, just how it was to understand how different the real world was from the world that I had been fed online.
And how did you survive financially when you were working for? Did they pay you?
Who? Well, the people who I was working with.
Yes.
I was paid a basic salary. I released my finances to the Independent to show I wasn't making money from money from any of this stuff. But I was paid a basic salary by Tommy and everyone. When I left, I got an honest job in a bar, and now I work for Byline TV in London. So there was no nefarious money issues. It was fairly straightforward.
Okay, Con is on the line. Con is in Cork, 1850-715-815-joe@rte.ie. Con, your point, please.
Hi, Joe. I just want to, I'd be fairly new to social media. You know, I'd be only on it, looking through them in the last 3 or 4 months. And be quite honest with you, I just can't believe the amount of right-wing propaganda and lies that comes through on the channels, we say, that comes through my phone. It's frightening. And I just made the point, I think the social media companies and the bosses and all these should be doing more to curtail these false lies that they're allowing people to read, and worse, I suppose, to believe. I mean, I suppose it's really shown it through the last 12, 13 months. People have been trolling through all these, I suppose, at home, you know, no work, and they're getting really, really into that. Where I live, I know there is a few people I know, and they're really gone down, as they say, the rabbit hole. And now I do my best. When I see them, I talk to them, I say hello. But I would never, ever try to persuade them that they're wrong. I just try to talk to them and give different points of view. And not tell him, but have a conversation that the people you're listening to and the people you're believing are probably making millions and millions and living in mansions somewhere, and they don't give one damn about you. That's what I...
Which Caelan would agree with. But Caelan, also, do you think the social media companies should be doing more?
Massively more. Okay. I just to check, if you said that you're from the fishing industry, I spoke to a fisherman 3 months ago who has lost his entire livelihood. He's lost 99% of his business. And I interviewed him for Byline, and he said, I regret voting leave. I feel like I was lied to, and Nigel Farage and a lot of people are not accusing Nigel Farage of lying, of course, but a lot of the people behind the Leave campaign aren't there now representing their industry. But all of this was done on the internet, and all of this is done on Facebook, and now we're seeing the devastating real-life impacts of all of that. Social media companies need to be held to account far more. I still have insights that show that they're still recommending hundreds of millions of views a week to people that aren't subscribed to channels that are far-right, that are just normal people on the internet who are browsing. And people are still being pumped full of this content. And as trust in mainstream media declines over time, which is something that has been happening for years, it's only going to become more and more of an issue.
Okay. And Caelan, how does this sit with you? Because it is a very, on the one hand, it's a very brave thing you've done. And you say you're doing it out of truth, and that's been your explanation here. I don't think anyone would disbelieve you. But you are actually saying publicly, I lied.
Because it's important, and it's embarrassing that I lied, and I wish I could, you know, one part of me says, well, I should just disappear and carry on doing my producer's job now and go and live a normal life. But when I see the scenes at the Capitol riots on January 6th, when I see that this stuff is still happening, when I see that even though I was a tiny cog in this machine, the machine is still a monster and going out, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, I feel like genuinely I won't be able to sleep at night unless I can start exposing a lot of those lies and literally start coming out and saying, actually, I was one of those liars. I don't believe this stuff anymore. But please, if you're not going to listen to the media and you're not going to listen to your friends or family, listen to the person that made the videos that you're watching, because they will know the truth.
And you are one of those people, and you're saying you deliberately doctored videos to make people of a certain political disposition look stupid, so to speak.
Yeah, to fit a narrative. When you're radicalized on the internet, everything is about your narrative and your side of the war, and that's how it is. That's how it is still now on the internet to this day.
And it comes back to that headline: focus on conflict, feed the algorithm, make sure whatever you produce reinforces a narrative, and don't worry if it is true or not, obviously. Okay, apparently One American News, I don't know whether you're familiar with that channel, Caelan, is still referring to President Trump and Mr. Biden.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's still an incredibly well-funded, huge ecosystem that's carrying on. And One America News Network, as well as Newsmax, are taking all of Fox News' viewers away. They are exploding at the moment. With new viewerships, because of radicalization becoming more and more extreme, people are flocking to more and more fringe websites that will feed them their worldview and feed them the worldview that, you know, the election was stolen and that there's still a conspiracy theory about Hillary Clinton. And it's just indicative and far more damning. But their viewerships are going through the roof at the moment, which is, again, terrifying.
Okay. Tell us about the organization you've now set up. It's called Freedom... Future Freedom. Yeah, tell us about that, Caelan.
So when the January 6th attack happened at the Capitol in Washington, I reached out to a few people that are still involved in the far right, who I hadn't spoken to in a few years, and I asked them why they're still doing it, because a lot of them know that it's nonsense and they're still involved. And they said because no one has ever left before, and left in a way that they weren't absolutely destroyed and scrutinized. You know, you can walk away from a far-right group in the 80s, and no one will know you're involved in it. The newspapers get, you know, thrown in the bin, and then there's no track record of it. And a huge amount of them are terrified about their future, and also terrified about how they'll be perceived and going back to their family and friends. And they want an example of people that have been able to do it, that they can follow, that they can kind of feel like they can do it as well. So we elevate stories from people all around the world who have been a victim of this radicalization, obviously starting with my story, Caleb Kane, who was a subject to a high-profile New York Times article a couple of years ago after Christchurch, as well as key organizers in far-right groups in America. And we tell those stories and elevate those stories and allow people to come forward in a safe, non-judgmental way. We don't expect you to go and be left-wing or go and be a communist or go and do anything else of that matter. All we care about is that you walk away from the far right and go and reconnect with your family and live a normal life again, as well as providing resources to expose the people behind all of this, to expose social media company algorithms, and to expose the people profiting from it.
And Caelan, is it, you mentioned the new world we live in, so to speak, but is it difficult for you to erase videos you made, which you now admit are untrue?
It's very, very difficult. I still get recognized in the street once a week from people that watch my videos that are still on Rebel Media, of which have over 100 million views combined, who say, oh, keep up good work. And I have to explain to them, look, stop watching this stuff. It really didn't come from a place of truth. And I can't take those videos down. I still get messages every day online of people who are watching it. And that's incredibly difficult. And I don't really know. That's another reason I started Future Freedom, was so people could go to my profile and then they could discover that. And they could discover the links to Future Freedom and go down that route and actually have conversations.
Okay.
Sure.
Yes, Con, yes.
I'd like to say that Caelan there, I mean, it's guys like that that should be promoted more on mainstream media, with, say, on television, radio, like we're doing here now. And there's believing people do actually still listen to the radio and they do watch television all the time. So I think if he could be promoted more, and if there is more people like him out there that can tell, that can say, look, what I was telling you was complete and utter lies, untruths, I think it would help a lot, to be honest with you.
Okay. Caelan Robertson, thanks indeed, Caelan. Appreciate your time, Con Foley. Does Maria want to make a point to Caelan? Go ahead. Maria.
Hello, Joe. I'm just listening. I agree about far right, that they do go too far, but we never hear anything about the left. Like to Putin in Russia, what he's doing now at the moment to the Crimea and Ukraine. And I just wanted to make that point. It's always the far right, sort of, you know.
But do we not hear a lot about Putin and Crimea and
No, we don't hear
Ukraine
anyone on your programme ever or any other discussion programmes I listen to.
Yeah.
I don't hear anybody coming on the airwaves complaining. We see it on the news. But that's just as
what do you want to... Sorry, what... Like, the President Biden said recently when he was asked, was Vladimir Putin a killer? And he said yes. Now, I heard that on RTE.
Yeah, but it's not discussed on the like of your programme or other discussions, even on News Talk, say. You know, we don't, on discussion programmes on those stations, we don't hear people ringing in complaining about the far left, say.
Okay, Caelan, can you speak to that?
Look, I mean, there are problems on both sides of media. I'm not RTE, I think, are similar to the BBC in terms of they're disliked by both the left and the right, which means they're doing something right. They're pretty much down the middle. But the media has got problems. One of the reasons that I was radicalized by the Orlando shooting in America was because no mainstream media outlet was talking about what inspired that. They weren't talking about the Quran and they weren't talking about Islam. They did when the Christchurch shooting happened. They looked through his far-right manifesto. So I do think there are problems in the media that still exist. However, I don't think it lands with RTE and BBC and CNN. I think it's more sort of actually opening left-leaning outlets. I think there's a good healthy conversation being raised on this show, happening on this show. But, of course there are problems on both sides. I'm just saying that there is a more of a problem on the far right. That's where most of the terror plots are being foiled right now. And that's what the biggest threat of far right terror, the biggest threat of terrorism in America right now is from white supremacists on the far right. So that's where the focus really should be as well.
Okay. And
I just didn't want to have a big discussion. I'm just making my point.
Okay. It's not part of the discussion, Marie, but where do you get your media from or your information from? You mentioned RT and News Talk. Who else do you listen to?
News Talk. Mostly those two stations.
Okay.
The odd Time, Today FM, and I read the Irish Times and Sunday Independent and Sunday Times.
Okay, well, that's a good range. That's a good range.
That's
a good range. Okay, Maria, thanks indeed. Caelan Robertson, thanks indeed. Con Foley also. 51551, wash hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.